Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The five of them were foolish and five were prudent. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, saying, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. But be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. The same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more, but he who received the 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and bought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." The one who also received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.' And then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they themselves will also answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these things will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Amen. In Matthew 25, this is continuing on with a very famous a part of Jesus' teaching, right? This is called the Olivet Discourse. And in the Olivet Discourse, he talks about the end times. You know, that's kind of the theme by which he speaks, last few chapters. And the part of the discourse, he's going to talk about what's going to happen, dealing with judgment, dealing with, the end of the world, exactly what is going to happen during this time. And so in chapter 25, Just so you get an understanding, right? Just think, if you're trying to read through the parables and whatnot, just think of just this one simple word, right? Obedience. Obedience. right? And if you can wrap yourself, you know, your brain around that word, you can really understand, especially this particular chapter. And so the first part there and is the parable of the 10 virgins, okay? And so, you know, these are, you know, obviously if they're virgins, right? That's meaning these are people that you know, women particularly, you know, that want to live righteously, okay? And so, you know, they are in a way doing their part. And so they come and, you know, it says, five were foolish and five were prudent. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. Now, in the context, you know, of, you know, of this time that we live in, you know, if you don't have any oil, your lamp is useless, right? You know, I mean, if, you know, you take some, it's like you can have the fanciest car in the world, right? But if you don't have any gas, that car is worthless. It's the car, or the oil in this context, is just for show. Okay? You guys understand that concept? It's just for show. You got the lamp, but it is absolutely useless. It's just for show. You know, and so he says there's five foolish ones and five prudent ones. They're virgins, so, you know, they're trying to get on with their life and live righteously and all these things. But for five of them, it was just for show. The other five, right, they were prudent. They knew, you know, what the purpose was of their obedience or what they were doing. You know, and so, you know, the Lord comes and says the bridegroom was delaying. They all got drowsy and began to sleep. At midnight, there was a shout. Okay, so there's a delay now. The bridegroom says, come out to meet him. You know, and in this context, you know, this is kind of like the wedding feast and whatnot, right? We talked about it before. Right? Those were double invitations, you know. And so, in a very similar vein, you know, by which this goes out here, and it says, and so they fell asleep, they woke up, you know, and the foolish said, "Hey, give me some oil," you know, but. What they did, to understand, they asked for something that can't be bought. You know, you actually can't buy this oil. It's obviously too late, right? It's midnight. I mean, give me a break. What shop owner is going to be open at midnight? You know, but they asked to buy something that can't be bought. You know, when we talk about obedience, you know, to the Lord and these things, it's something that we cannot buy. You know, you just do. You just obey. There's, you know, other ideas, you know, and like the lamp and the oil, you know, another way of looking at it, and this is the way that I read it, the text, personally for me as application, the lamp is your ministry, right? This is what you do, you know. As a house church leader, as a worship leader, you know, maybe as a welcoming person, you know, as a pastor, this is your ministry, right? This is, in other words, this is what everyone sees, right? This is the show, right? Everyone can see the ministry, you know, but the thing that really fuels the ministry is your life in God. It's what no one can see, right? But that's what fuels the ministry. Now, you know, in our world, unfortunately, you can actually still... you know, have a ministry without much oil, but eventually it wears out and then you die. You know, the flame eventually goes out. You know, and you guys heard me talk about, you know, the whole idea of being burnt out and stuff. And it doesn't exist. You know, I'm telling you, it does not exist in the kingdom of God, right? The reason why people get burnt out, you know, I'll say it again and again. The reason why people get burnt out is because there's no oil. In other words, there's no time spent with God. You know, the fuel of our life is our quiet time. The fuel of our life is our prayer life. The fuel of our life is our time spent with God. You know, and out of that, our ministries are impacted. In this way, out of that, right, out of that obedience that no one sees, right, becomes the light that everyone sees. You know, and so, you know, we have to be very aware of that. These virgins asked for something that could not be brought, could be bought at all. And, you know, and they went away to make the purchase, etc., and all these things. And then, you know, the Lord answers, he shuts the door and it says, "Truly I say to you," the word is, "I do not know you." The word actually is, "I do not endorse you." right? And, you know, and says, be on the alert. So he doesn't necessarily, in this context here, he doesn't necessarily say that they're never going to get in, okay? You know, there's different words. You know, sometimes when he says he doesn't know you, it's a relationship thing. This part is talking about he does not endorse you, right? And so, in other words, he can't vouch for you, you know, in that way, right? And then you have the parable of talents. And this is really an incredible passage, right? A guy goes on his journey. He entrusts, you know. And I mean, this is pretty straight up, right? The person goes on his journey, and then he entrusts his people, his servants, to basically carry on his will while he's on this journey, okay? And so they bring forth, you know, in the manner here of these talents, right? And the other passage talks about cities, right? And so he gives these talents that was his to these people. One got five, another got two, another got one. But notice what it says there. He says that he gave to them according to their own ability, right? According to their own ability in verse 15. One was given five, one two, one was giving one. Now, it didn't matter what you got, okay? This is where a lot of us get into problems because we're always comparing ourselves to one another, right? Oh, that person got the gift of tongues. How come I don't have that gift? Oh, this person got, you know, got this gift. How come I don't have that? Oh, this person has the gift of faith, you know, or this person has got this position. How about me? You know, and we're always comparing ourselves, right? Remember in Hebrews, he tells us, right, run the race set before you, right? He's saying, don't run anyone else's race. That's up to them. Run the race set before you. You know, and so he gives according to each talent. And see, this is the beauty of it. This is why you can know that God doesn't care what you got. What he cares is what you did with what you got, right? Because the five, right, has five more. He doubled his thing. And then the master turned to them and says, well done, good and faithful slave. Enter into the joy of your master. Right? I mean, he got the best return. The other guy got two. He also doubled it as well. What did the master? He said the same exact thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. You were faithful. Right? He both these guys got the same exact reward. One started with a lot and, you know, as a return, you know, I mean, gave, you know, did more with what he had. The other guy was faithful with what he got, and they both got the same exact reward, right? Each to your own ability. What we do too many times, right, is we get sidetracked and we compare ourselves to one another instead of just taking what God has given to us and, you know, being faithful with it. You know, we are in many ways more concerned with what we don't have instead of what we do have. That's a huge problem. You know, as a pastor, I understand this because this is how it works sometimes. And I've had the Lord really rebuke me many times because I'm kind of a perfectionist, right? And especially when I was doing youth ministry, I had about 80 kids or so, you know, that were our youth group kids. And a lot more kids came to the youth group, but these were like my core group, you know. And out of these kids, if there was like one or two that we're not really walking with the Lord or, you know, whatever it is, I focused so much of my energy on those one or two. And it wasn't, don't worry, it wasn't like the compassion of Jesus, right, where he leaves the 99 and follows the one. It wasn't anything like that. It was just I was a perfectionist, right? I would just focus so much on those two kids, but I got like 78 kids that would jump off a cliff if I asked them to. You know what I mean? And I would neglect them. Because again, it's our human sinful nature. We focus so much on what we don't have that we forget what we do have. You know, it just goes on and on. It's our nature of being ungrateful sinners, and so you know he's telling these guys, look, just be faithful, whatever God, according to your ability. You know, other passages, you know, talking about gifts and these things, says according to your faith. You know, and so he gives a measure. And all, you don't have to be concerned about what you got, what you don't got. All you have to be concerned about is being faithful, of being an obedient servant, right? It's this obedience that goes all the way across, right? And that's all that counts. And then the one guy who takes what he has, what he's been given, and he buries it. He says, man, you really messed up. You know, how could you do this? You know, how can you bury something I've given you? I mean, and it wasn't even a lot, you know. It was a small little piece, but it was according to his ability. You know, and then he says, you wicked, lazy slave. You know, you should have just even put it in the bank, right? This is why you know that God, you know, Jesus really understands finance, right? He mentions this kind of stuff all the time. And so in verse 29, it may seem, you know, for everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. See, Christianity is not communism, right? You know, people talk about this kind of stuff. It's not communism at all. He says someone has a lot, even more is going to be given to that person. Even someone who has a little, even that little is going to be taken away. You know, and then, you know, it seems like, wow, that's not very Christian. You know, that's so un-Christian. Are you, you know, like, well, how is this? You know, because we're always talking about share. No, it's about return again, right? It's the issue of faithfulness. In God's economy, you know, if I know this, you know, this son or this daughter, this servant of mine, if whatever I give to them, they're going to be faithful, man, I'm going to give them more, you know? If I know that this slave, this son or daughter of mine, even what I give him, he's not going to be faithful, I'm going to give it to somebody else, you know? And so, you know, when you look at history, you know, when you look, you know, at church history and the scriptures and whatnot, you notice that God piles favor upon favor upon favor on his faithful servants, right? That's a good investment, you know, and God is wants a good investment, you know, and in the same way, right, if we look at this passage, Jesus had a job to do on this earth, you know, he did the best that he could until the time that he had left. He leaves, right, and then he tells his servants, basically finish my task, you know, finish what I've started. Right, and he gives us the abilities, the gifts, the resources to make that happen. And if you're faithful, he'll give you even more. You know, if you're faithful, he'll just continue to pile that on each one of us. And then he gets to the judgment, you know, of the nations. You know, and you know, Son of Man is going to come in his glory, and then he's going to separate the sheep and the goats. Right, you know, and it's the simple thing. What distinguishes the sheep and the goat? Obviously, you know, we know this. You know, we know what a sheep looks like. We know what a goat looks like, right? It seems quite obvious, you know. But it wasn't just merely just from the look of the animal, right? He says what distinguishes the two, the one that goes to the left into punishment and one that goes to the right into eternal life, is actually, again, it's your obedience, right? You know, you visited me when I was in prison. You clothed me when I was naked. You fed me when I was hungry. You gave me a drink when I was thirsty. When I was alone, you invited me in. You know, as you know, when I was a stranger. When you were sick, you know, you came and took care of me. Right? These are all actions. Right? These are all parts of obedience. You know, and this is what's going to separate, you know, the sheep and the goats. Right? It's our life of obedience. You know, before the Lord. And you know, and I don't want to get you know kind of wax philosophical on us, but you know, in a lot of ways, you know, our building fund, you know, and this push that we're leaning towards is in a way separating the sheep and the goats. Not that someone's going to go to eternal punishment, you know. And so again, we're not reading, you know, but it goes into the ownership, you know, of the church, you know. And I could very easily, you know, In a very simple way, I know who's a member of Solomon's Porch even before we have a membership class. You know what I mean? Like, I know who's vested besides someone that's just got a lamp, but there's no oil. You know, it's just for show, but it doesn't do anything. You know, I know who shows up, you know, and it's, and again, it's not the amount, it's the heart. You know, we've been saying this over and over again. And so, I mean, you know, of course, we're on this push. I got to talk about the building fund, but it has really nothing to do with this passage. So, but, you know, and he says here in verse 41, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Right? You know, hell was not meant to be for the believers. Did you know that? When God created hell, right, out of the fall, you know, it was for Lucifer and the fallen angels. It was not meant to be for us. You know, but unfortunately, the devil does such a good job on us that people will go to hell. You know, that's why, you know, God continually says he desires that none would perish. You know, I mean, that's his heart. You know, and so just to get, so, you know, God didn't necessarily, you know, want his children to be punished, but punishment will happen if there's disobedience. You know, and part of that disobedience, right, or the spirit of rebellion also is not trusting the Lord, you know, for faith and whatnot. Okay, so let's close our eyes today. I mean, you know, Jesus is getting more and more serious, right, as he continues on, as he turns his face towards Jerusalem. And so let's take a moment, and as we seek the Lord, as we deal with the issue of obedience, don't just be satisfied because you have a lamp. The lamp is useless without the oil. And allow God to speak to us just about our obedience. Is there something that God is asking you to do now that you have not obeyed in? Maybe it's in reaching out to someone. Maybe it's in forgiving someone. Maybe it's in giving to someone. Is there something that you have not obeyed God in right now that he's asking you to? And as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that. Let's pray together. Let's pray over ourselves, over our heart. Let's pray for a heart to really obey. Let's, you know, quit wasting our time comparing ourselves to one another. You know, let's quit focusing on what we don't have, and let's focus on what God has given to us already and be grateful. And then out of that, be faithful to obey, to listen, to serve. Let's just go before the Lord and just do a heart check and make sure that we are obedient sons and daughters. Let's pray. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China today. Let's pray for the Chung family. Ask God to continue to bless and use them. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for the kids in Chichihar and the government. Pray for the churches there. Pray for the Beijing church plant, that as God would just really release a favor from the Lord. And let's just lift up this nation to God and ask that He would move in this place powerfully. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for SP. Let's pray for our staff and ask God to continue to have His hands upon them. You know, Annie is about to give birth any day, and so let's just pray especially covering over her and for the baby and, you know, for their whole family. I know a lot of the kids, my kids are still a bit sick, and just pray for healing and, you know, continue to lift Pinade and Kenny and Monica and Sophia and Pastor Salomon, just a real grace over them. Let's also pray for our board, you know, ask God to continue to speak through the board, and the wisdom of God would come. You know, we just had a wonderful service on Sunday. Just a real, you know, just sense of the presence of God over their lives. And let's just continue to pray for that favor. Let's also pray for the mission committee and that they would really be raised up to raise the level of awareness and missions, and just really a heart to go and to serve cross-culturally. And so let's lift up these members before the Lord. Let's pray for a Febe ministry. Let's ask God to bless Pastor Selamat and the church, Indonesian church, and also pray for the Korean ministry, you know, as they're really struggling right now, and ask God to really draw near to them. Let's pray for our Tuesday house churches meet tonight. Let's pray for Star Street and the Morels and Seymour with Haich and Jisun. Pray for Lan Kwai Fong with the Sophia and Matt. Let's pray for real grace, you know, especially we're trying to spend some time talking about our building and our move and really try to round up the troops and get everyone excited and praying in the same way. And so let's pray for tonight as we come together that the Spirit of God would really move upon us during that time. And let's pray for our SP move. Let's pray that God would just really, really move upon us and really knit us together. Let's pray that we'd be on the same page and just real generosity would really flow as, you know, as we need to raise a lot of money in a short time. And pray that God would really move upon our members and, you know, and others, you know, God would just increase their investments and, you know, whatever it takes to see His glory fall in this place. And let's pray for favor with the owner. And pray for the negotiations and all those things really come through, you know, all our accounts will be in order and all that stuff. And then, of course, and let's continue to pray for the vine. And, you know, we're taking up an offering this coming Sunday. And let's just pray for a real fruitful time as the Lord would just lift up them in their situation as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, God. We pray that you would continue to draw us to you. We pray, God, that we would truly live lives of obedience before you, God. Lord, that's not about what we don't have, but it's about what you've given to us. And what you've given to us, help us to be faithful. We thank you, God. Watch over us, God. Help us be faithful what you've given to us this day. Life, breath, opportunity, Lord. And help us to use that to further your kingdom, Lord. We thank you so much. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.